Wonderful, fantastic. Now, some of you know that yesterday was my birthday, and I woke up and smelled bacon. Jan had breakfast waiting for me at 7 o'clock. Some of the guys came over and some of the girls. It's pretty good. But today, whenever I hear the word old in a conversation, I think they're talking about me. Somebody's talking about, old dogs can't hear new tricks. I thought they were talking about me. Kind of sensitive about that right now. Because I'm 2045. You know, 29, 2010, 2011, 2012, get it? 2030, I'm 2045, so that's old. One announcement that's not going to be made, it has to do with why Jack is not here today, because his sister Emma got engaged last night to a very, very good friend of mine. I'm telling you, if those of you know Emma, she chose really well. Justin's an amazing guy. Anyway, that's great stuff. All right, so we're continuing our series in the book of Mark. Okay. How are we doing? Great. So we're going to be looking at a couple of things, but the main thing we're going to be doing this Sunday and next Sunday is looking at some of the kingdom parables. Jesus told a lot of parables, as you know, but many, if I believe actually most of them, were parables about the kingdom of God. So we're going to be looking at a couple of those. Now let's remind ourselves the theme of Mark, Jesus, the Messiah and Son of God, suffering servant and Savior of mankind. We're going to keep coming back to this. And we're going to remind ourselves of what we're calling the theme verse of the book of Mark. And I want to ask you to consider memorizing this verse if you're willing, where Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Maybe in a few weeks down the road, I'll just turn the thing off and I'll ask us to say it together. That'd be really great. In fact, it's sitting right up there right now. Let's practice together. "For even the Son of Man did not..." Oh, wait, no, you didn't get what I'm trying to do here. Is it? Oh, it's not up there. All right. Now it's up there. All right. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." All right, let's go to Mark chapter 4. There was a reason that I wasn't getting a whole lot of response there. Okay, good. Okay. Now, again, we saw, there's the four Gospels and a little bit different take on Jesus. And the take on Jesus of Mark is suffering servant, but also man of action, kind of action, super figure, superhero. All right? And, he's immediately going over. He's immediately doing this. He's overcoming the power of Satan and the power of the world and all those things. A powerful Savior. All right? And so what's Jesus doing? If you read Mark 2, 3, and 4, he's working miracles. He's teaching in parables. He's healing many. And he's immediately going over here. And he's immediately going over there, right? He's doing all these great things. Now, let's go to Mark 4, and we're going to look at one of the kingdom parables. We know this as the parable of the sower. But I'm going to change the name for our sake. I'm going to call it the parable of the soils. I think that name is kind of, it makes more sense for what this parable is about. It's about the four different soils. All right, again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got down into a boat on the sea, and he sat down, while the whole crowd was on the shore facing the sea. He taught them many things in parables. All right, and in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, consider, the sower who went out to sow, as he sowed, this occurred. Some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it sprang up right away since it didn't have deep soil. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it didn't have a root, it withered. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce a crop. Still others fell on good ground and produced a crop that increased 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. Then he said, anyone who has ears to hear should listen. When he was alone with the 12, those who were around him asked him about the parables. He answered them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to those outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may look and yet not perceive. They may listen and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven. Then he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones along the path. When the word is sown, when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves and are short-lived. When affliction or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately stumble. Others are sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the seduction of wealth, and the desires for other things enters in and chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the ones sown on good ground are those who hear the word, welcome it, and produce a crop 30, 60, and 100 times what is sown. It's interesting. Jesus pulls them aside, and he told a bunch of parables. And they asked him about this one. He says, a lot of the parables, you know, I get why you didn't get. But that one, you didn't get that one? What's wrong with you people? All right, kind of like that, right? Last year we did, I believe, 3 lessons about the kingdom of God. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there right now, but you might want to go back, go to the church website, go to my website. We've got some pretty good stuff about the kingdom. And one thing I know is, during the time before he was ascended from heaven, when he was assembled with his disciples, going over the most important things. What was he talking about? Look there in Acts chapter 1. He was talking about the kingdom of God. So he tells them this parable about what the kingdom of God is like. Now in this story, Jesus, in all of his parables, Jesus tended to use everyday examples. Because the parables were intended both to reveal and conceal, right? That's what it said right there. In verse 11, he talked about that. Those who are not ready to hear, they're just going to go right over their heads. But those who have the right heart, it's going to go right to their heart. And he always used everyday examples. So what did almost everybody in his crowd do? Farmers. So if he was telling parables that Jesus was coming in today, would he be telling parables about farming? Well, in Bakersfield, maybe. Maybe. Jan and I, we had some friends. Remember we had a sister in our Bible talk, and she didn't know that, you know, you grew tomatoes. She didn't know where they came from, and, you know, never seen, like, a cow and this stuff like that, all right? So probably if Jesus was telling parables today, he would tell us something about a video game. Or football, or, excuse me, the female equivalent of that, whatever that might be. Jan said it, so I can say, shopping. It's like when you went to a store to go shopping, all right? It's like, you know, it's like Macy's and, you know, Walmart. And Jesus would have done that. But for these people, the equivalent of that was a field. And when he talked about the path, and we have to pull out a commentary and talk about the path is. But for his audience, like, yeah, the path. Yeah, obviously. All right. And so that's why he used such a thing, farming. And by the way, some of you know, I'm really into gardening. And you know, I bring baskets full of food often, you know. And one of my favorite Bible talks I ever do is the one about farming. And so I talk about just my own gardening. And what's the first thing I do? I look for good soil. Then what's the next thing you do? I dig up the soil to loosen it. And what do I do while I'm doing that? I pull out the weeds. And then what do? I add fertilizer. And then I pull out the pebbles and then I level it. And then I put in the seeds, and then I water it. And after the plants grow up, I pull out the weeds, and then et cetera. All those are perfect analogies for the Christian life. It's great stuff. So Jesus was pretty smart to use the parable of the soils. So what is the seed in this parable? It's the Word of God. How do you know that? Because it says it right there, all right? In our hermeneutics class, by the way, I'm still using my Holman Christian Standard in honor of the hermeneutics class. All right, we learned that if you want to know what a passage means, let the author tell you what he means. And by the way, if you go to Luke 8:11, he says the seed is the Word of God. Here it says the seed is the Word, but in Luke he says the seed is the Word of God. Okay, so what is the soil? The soil is human hearts. How do you know that? Right, but that's just my opinion, okay? That's just my opinion. The Bible doesn't actually say, but he says the rocky soil is like this, and he says the thorny soil is like that, and you can see right away it is the human heart. Okay? So what we're going to have a lesson about today is the Scriptures and about your heart. All right, so this is going to be a kind of a personal lesson. Okay? So what are the different soils? Okay, one of the soils is the hard path. And by the way, they always had hard paths back then. Because what you'd do is you'd go out and you would deal with your farm, right? You had your land. And so what do you need to do? You need to do weeding and you need to do watering. Well, in our fields, you get this thing that, right? And it sends the water like 100 feet, right? That's what they got. Or you got, for weeding, you just send a machine out there and it does the tilling. Although, we were talking yesterday, was it Alan or Blaine that was talking about weeding cotton? That was you. Yeah. So Blaine knows all about weeding cotton. And I guess they did it by hand. But the bottom line is if you're going to weed the cotton, you got to walk near the cotton. So do you walk randomly through the field? Two things. That destroys all the plants and, whatever. So in any farm field, you have the place that you walk along. All right. So are you going to plant seed there? No, but back then, the way they planted, it's kind of like, they did this. So where is some of the seed going to fall? On the hard path. All right? So what is this hard path? Well, let's read about it in verse 4. It is, as he sowed, this occurred, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And then down in verse 15, he says just a little bit more here. He says, these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. Now, one of the things, obviously we're supposed to be doing this morning is asking, which path am I? Well, I'd say probably nobody here is the hard path. Because if you're the hard path, well then, you wouldn't be here. So I'm going to let you off on this one. All right, but one other thing I know is all of us get a hardened heart at one time or another. And how do you deal with the hard path? What do you do to make it not be a hard path anymore? You get the plow and you dig it up. And when I was preparing our garden in my house, that soil was hard as flint. And I really needed a pickaxe, all right. But I had to dig all that stuff up. Hard heart, never even gave it a chance. You know, as parents, we're worried that that'll be our kids. And Jose is thankful that his daughter is here this morning. He's excited about that. All right. And, all right, it's kind of a sensitive subject, but Mike and Asenya are happy that their son's here this morning, all right? That's good. All right. And Now, Tony and his wife, they're excited that their daughter's here this morning. That's good stuff. We're excited about that. Amen. All right. Let's talk next about the rocky soil, though. Let's talk about the rocky soil. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it sprang up right away since it didn't have deep soil. All right, and then let's talk about the interpretation, verse 16 and 17. It says, and these are the ones sowed on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves. They are short-lived. When after affliction or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately stumble. Now, when I plant beans, it says, when you plant carrots, it says planted a quarter of an inch under the dirt. That's what the package says. When you plant beans, it says to plant the seed 2 inches under the dirt. Now, I don't like planting it 2 inches under the dirt. Why not? Because I'm afraid it'll just never come up. So why wouldn't you plant it a quarter inch below the dirt? Because it would come up too easily. And the plant, it has to push itself through the dirt. If it doesn't do that, then I don't know. It's supposed to be hard. I don't know exactly why, but it's just supposed to be hard. All right? And so this represents the shallow heart, where there's no real deep root. This is the fair weather Christian. This is the Christian who seems to do in great. They're the most fired up Christian in church, practically. But then stuff happens. Does stuff happen? Stuff always happens. Stuff always happens. But you know what? They became a Christian. The one on the hard soil, they never became a Christian. In fact, they probably didn't even come to church. Either that or they got dragged to church and they sat there in the seat and they're like, which sometimes happens, especially with our teenage kids, but whatever. All right? But they came as exciting. They liked the relationships. You know, it made them feel good to be here. It gave them a sense that they're part of something. That was all great. You know, but then they lost their job. And then somebody offered them a job that paid a lot more money in a place where they didn't know anybody who was a Christian. And then, you know, a family member just had a crisis, an intense crisis. Or somebody in the church treated him bad. Or whatever it is, right? And then what happens? Yeah. Because I'm telling you, I'm using the bean example, and I've actually grown beans. I've actually grown them. And I know this because sometimes I'm tempted to plant the beans a little shallower. And more of them come up, but almost all of them die. So what's the solution to this problem? Because I think it is appropriate for us to ask ourselves, might this be us? Or might this have been us? All right? So what's the solution to this problem? Well, I don't know if you plant the seed deeper. I don't know if that's the right metaphor. I think we need to just put in deeper roots. I don't know. Maybe I'm messing up on the analogy here, but that's the best I know how to do. Let's go to Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. You know, if you're a shallow Christian, it's going to catch up with you eventually. You know, when you shove stuff under the rug, it comes out at the worst possible time. That's just the way it works. If you bury those doubts, those reservations, those criticisms, or if you appear as if it's really about God when it's really about something other than God, it's gonna come out at some time. But you know what? If you're still here, you can fix it midstream. I don't know about the analogy. You know, once you plant this, I don't know if the perfect analogy. You know what I'm saying? Because once, if you plant the seeds the wrong depth, you just have to plant new seeds in the actual reality. But we're people, all right? So I'm just trying to help us out here. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8. Blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in the Lord. He like a tree planted by water. It sends its roots out towards the stream. It doesn't fear when he comes. Its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. So again, almost the same analogy, but not exactly the same analogy. But what is it that makes somebody be a deep-rooted Christian in this passage? It seems to me it's trusting in the Lord. So I think it's a really good question to ask ourselves. Who or what are you trusting in? How do you know it? Well, when stuff happens, where do you go? All right? That's not a hard question. I think if you think about it, you know the answer to this question. When stuff happens, where do you go? If you go to the Lord, then this is not the soil you're in. And praise God for that. Now, of course, it's not as simple. It's not like you're either this one, you know, or you're that one. You know, it's not as simple as that. We all understand that. This is just a parable, and you don't want to stretch a parable too much. All right, we don't have four different boxes, and 27 people in this room are in the rocky soil. 38% are in the thorn. You know, it's not like that. You got it? But I would say this. When stuff happens, and just, I'm getting to the point where I actually know the people in the church. I'm getting to kind of know people in the church here. And when stuff happens, I tend to kind of actually know it. Not always. You can hide it sometimes. All right? But when stuff happens, where do you go? And this passage, I was in Jeremiah, was it 17? Right? Somewhere in there. Verse. Yeah. You'll be like blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord. Where is your confidence? See, that's the rocky soil. The person who did the right thing, got excited, but they just didn't place their reliance on the right thing. Now, for some of us, the reason we were interested in God is because we saw those awesome relationships. There's nothing wrong with that, but are you basing your faith on that? Ooh. Some of us, we wanted to be part of a church that was doing something exciting, and we saw something exciting happening. We said, I want to be there. But is the church going to always be fruitful and growing and doing amazing things? If you're a Christian for 50 or 60 years, trust me. Trust me. You're going to go through a time when it's stinking it up. The church you're in is stinking it up. And if you're basing your faith on that, then when those things come, you're going to be in this rocky field. And when the sun comes out and there's not so much water on the soil, right? And what I want to do as a gardener is I want to keep putting water on there and get the perfect amount of sun. But you know what? At some point, the plants need to get toughened up. That's what the websites say. Don't give it water all the time. Okay, got it? So what can we do to fix this? Well, I'd say let's have a genuine prayer life. Let's really get close to God. If you want to get close to somebody, if you said, you know what, I really want to start getting close to my son. You know, I really want to start getting close to my fill in the blank. What would you do? You know what to do. We'll do that with God. I would say get real with somebody in this room about what's actually going on. Because I think if we're not real with each other, possibly we wouldn't be real with God, in which case we'd be on the shallow soil. Another possibility is make a decision to devote yourself to God first. Just make a decision. You know, I've made a decision about being patient and not getting annoyed and stuff like that. And I've been working on this for about 2 or 3 months. And this morning, this guy so blatantly cut me off. And I was, and I immediately smiled. You know what? I felt good about that. I'm serious. I have changed in that area. But how did it happen? Because I decided to. And I've been working on it. It's been about 2 months, maybe almost 3 months. I've been working on being patient and not, you know, and not getting annoyed. I think I even told you the three versions. The version where I just don't get annoyed at all. It's like, ha, ha, ha. Or the version where I do. But then I realize, oh, okay, that happened. And I kind of take a different path. And the version where I just screw up and, you know, and then I just sort of figure it out later and talk to myself. All right. So I would say make a decision to devote yourself to God first and foremost, not to the Bible, not to the people. Okay, good. Number four, take part in our hashtag Jesus lesson series for the next 10 months. All right. Good. Next is the thorny soil. All right. Now, just we don't want to stretch the metaphor too much, but to the extent we can maybe stretch it, the hard path is that a person who is saved? No. The shallow soil, is that a person who's saved? It's the person who gets saved and then leaves and is condemned. That's not a good soil. All right, what about the thorny soil? Is that a person who's saved? I think the answer is probably this person probably makes it. All right, but so let's read about that. All right, it's verse 7 back in Mark chapter 4, back in Mark chapter 4. So this person, I think, again, you could stretch the parable too much. I think this person does actually make it to heaven, but they miss out on something that God wanted to have very badly. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce a crop. That's what happened. So let's look at the interpretation in verse 18 and 19. It says, other seed, others are sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the seduction of wealth and the desires for other things enters in and chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, I thought Jesus says, unless you bear fruit, you're not my disciple, and blah, blah, blah. What about John 15? Again, I'm not going to have a big theological doctrinal debate here, but I think this person becomes a Christian, but they just don't produce Christian fruit in their lives, be it love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you know, or, you know, what kind of fruit does an apple tree bear? Apples. What kind of fruit does a Christian tree bear? Christians. Whichever kind of fruit we're talking about. I'm not going to parse out that thing. Here's the deal. We don't want to be on that soil. So let's not be on that soil. And what is that soil like? Well, it's kind of like the yard at the Santiago's house. If you've been over there. All right, you know what I'm talking about. Talk about thorns. Talk about thistles. Oh my goodness. I mean, there is a lot of weeds over there. And you know, when I was picking up these massive piles of tumbleweeds, what was pouring out of those tumbleweeds onto the ground? Seeds. Just the very process of removing those massive piles of tumbleweeds, we laid probably tens of thousands of tumbleweed seeds all over your yard, didn't we? So what's going to happen when it rains? Tumbleweed plants. So does taking the weeds out one time, does that solve the problem?
No.
No.
You'll be back again.
Story number two. See, I was thinking about this lesson, and yesterday, because what I did about a week and a half ago, I'm so stupid that I did this, but we have a bunch of dandelions, and I was busy. So what I did was I sort of just, you know, I just pulled up the flowers, you know what I'm saying? So what happened? Yesterday, I went, and I'm telling you, there were yellow dandelions. It was just covered yellow dandelions. So this morning, I go out there with my camera to take a picture for the illustration. And guess what? They'd all gone to seed the next day. See that? So I don't have a picture to show you. If it had been yesterday, yellow dandelions. I went out there today, and you know the thing with the white thing and all the seeds going everywhere. I'm like, So how much good did it do me to go through and sort of, you know, pluck all those flowers? It didn't do a whole lot of good. Okay, got it? So we're talking about the weedy, thorny soil. This soil, the person didn't die, but they didn't produce any fruit. In my opinion, this heart is someone who probably makes it to heaven, but they don't experience the blessing that God wants them to have. You know, and when I'm turning over the soil in my garden, I don't just sort of turn over the weeds. I don't do that. So when I've got my shovel, I loosen the soil, and then I pull the weeds out. All right? That's kind of like when we're studying the Bible with somebody and they're trying to become a Christian. So that's why, you know, we ask a lot of questions. We're trying to pull out those weeds. You're getting kind of pushy. You're asking questions I don't really want you to ask. All right? Yeah? Okay, sorry. You know, we don't want to leave behind a weedy patch. That's not good. So I do that. And then I plant the seeds, and guess what happens 2 or 3 weeks after I plant the seeds and start watering the dirt? Weeds come anyway. Because there's always seeds in there. And so what do you got to do? You got to pull them out. Because which grows faster? The young, charred plant or the weed plant? The weeds always grow faster. That's just the way it is. And folks, you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not even being explicit here. I'm kind of doing it with Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, hopefully you know what I'm talking about. All right, I'm going to use a few examples. You know, you can't just break off the dandelions. It doesn't work that way. You have to go down and you have to pull up the root. And even when you pull up the root, guess what happens? You have to weed out dandelions a few weeks later anyway. You say, well, I'm tired of rooting them out. Okay, fine. And then you have a field full of weeds. All right, so here's my question. What's growing in your garden? What's growing in your garden? Jesus is asking you that. If it's deceitfulness, lust, greed, laziness, alcohol, anger, gambling, greed, and selfish ambition, man, those plants may just flat out die. But you know what? Those are not the weeds that Jesus is actually talking about. Let me say that list again. Deceitfulness, lust, greed, laziness, alcohol, anger, gambling, greed, and selfish ambition. No, I was not thinking of you specifically. That's a generic list. All right? But that's actually, Jesus is talking about different kind of weeds. Let's go back to verse 18. Others sown among thorns. These are the ones that hear the word, but they hear the worries of this age. That's another weed. The worries of this age. What's another weed? The seduction of wealth. Oh, that's a weed. All right, and let me see. And the desires of things, the desire for stuff. You say, I don't desire stuff. Really? You're an American. Americans, our desire for stuff is insatiable. I think I gave this statistic just a week or two ago, but if I understand it correctly, the average American house was something like 800 or 900 square feet 70 years ago. And now it's something like 2,300 square feet. And the average square footage. You don't worry about square footage of house. Older people, they worry about this stuff. Your parents know exactly how many square feet their house is, I guarantee you, all right? You don't care about that. Oh, we care about that. We old people care about that. So the average house was something like 800 or 900 square feet. Now it's more like 2,300. And we have a storage industry. Daryl. That guy Daryl, he's pretty smart. He's got us figured out, you know? He even has fountains at his storage. Like, what are the fountains? What's that about? All right? I mean, he's trying to make worldly American thinking a positive thing. By the way, you are not necessarily in sin if you have a storage thing. But you know what? You know what? It might be evidence of some weeds. Not in every case, though. Honestly, not in every case. Some of you downsized and you didn't know how to get rid of your stuff. Amen for that. Okay? So Jesus is not referring to the obvious sins as this thorny soil. He's referring to things that are not necessarily bad. Basically, he's saying life. You know, the normal stuff of life, if we focus in on those to the exclusion of focusing on God. Do you want to be fruitful? I want to be fruitful. So we need to just keep pulling up those weeds. And those weeds, they just keep coming back. Why do they keep coming back? Because even if you get every stinking seed out of there, guess what happens? It comes in from your neighbor's place. All right? Out where the Santiagos live, the chances of them eliminating all tumbleweed from their backyard, that is never going to happen. Guess what happens? A windstorm, whoop. That's a great analogy for our lives, all right? I'm telling you, just you think you had it treated, and next thing you know, boop, there it goes. There's that situation. There's that opportunity for wealth. There's that person who's, you know, having an act, whatever that thing might be. Now, let's talk about the good soil. You know, they never talk about the good soil, right? Because we already talked about the good soil. It's soil without any of those things, all right? So I guess I don't have to say a lot about the good soil. In John 15, 16, Jesus, I chose you and appointed you so you might go and bear fruit that will last. God wants you to have a fruitful life. All right? He wants you to have a lot of fruit. He says, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. He wants you to have a productive life, a life with meaning. But if so, you can't have a divided heart. Are you a wholehearted person for God? You don't have to raise your hand. Who can you think of that is a wholehearted person for God? Can you think of somebody like that? Would your friends think of you, yeah, that person is wholehearted for God? Well, if that's the case, then you're the good soil. I mean, that's pretty much it. What's the good soil? Well, it's been turned over. It's been plowed and turned over, and it's soft. All right? It's deep roots, deeply rooted in God and pulling out the weeds all the time. All right, great. Parable of the mustard seed. How am I doing? Oh. Point two. Of 3 points. Oops. What happened? Well, let me read the parable of the mustard seed. Let me read it. And he said, how can we illustrate the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed that when sown in the soil is smaller than all the seeds in the ground. And when sown, it comes up and it grows taller than all the vegetables and it produces large branches so that the birds of the sky can nest in it. You know, Jesus talked about the kingdom of God a lot. And he used many analogies. Says the kingdom of God is like a treasure in a field. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. The kingdom of God is like a vineyard. The kingdom of God is like a field. But he says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Verse 34, it says, and he would speak the word to them with many parables like these, as they were able to understand. And he did not speak to them without a parable. Privately, however, he would explain everything to his own disciples. That's what I'm doing. I'm explaining this stuff to you. Y'all, you're not my disciples, but amen. So what's the kingdom of God like? It's a place where stuff happens. It's a place where things change. It's a place where things grow. I was thinking about the Hope Dance Academy. You know, we're starting small, but it's going to get big. In fact, there was a policeman who told me last week that our church is like a mustard seed. Wow. Right? Yeah. It happened. I was sharing up at CSUB, and cops came from more than one direction looking for me. It happened. I was like, I hadn't been persecuted in a long time for being a Christian. But, you know, somebody narked on me. Yeah, there's this guy being really aggressive, you know. And so the cops are coming from every direction. Well, not every direction, but there were like three directions, you know. Like, oh, hi. He said, yeah, you know, I got a description. I'm pretty sure it's you. Since he saw me, you know, handing out leaflets, he probably, yeah, all right. He said, so what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to plant a mustard seed. Well, didn't say that. I said, I'm trying to start, a Christian ministry on campus. All right. Anyway, after the discussion, it was so cool. Because while we're there, one of the guys we'd invited walked up to us and said, yeah, I'm coming to their thing. But the cop right there, I was pretty proud of that guy. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. And it was so cool because the cop said, oh, I know you. You're the hero on campus. This guy, somebody had passed out and was, you know, bloody all over. And he helped him out and called the cops. And so he's a hero on campus. And here's the one coming to our Bible talk. So you know what he said? He said, you know, in order to build something big, you have to start small. Amen. Amen. We started a new Bible group last week. Starting small, it's going to be big. Because God, I don't know, God's just into making things that start small be big. And I think about our Hope Dance Academy. You know, I think about that CSUB ministry. It's starting real small, I'm telling you. You feel a little weird over there, a little weird on campus. But, you know, we got a friend who came today from CSUB, apparently, right? Amen. All right. I remember Joe and I going up to BC. There was one Bible talk last spring where it was Joe and me. Now, I felt kind of foolish. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, last week, I think we had like 27, 28 people at our Bible talk. And the Cortez Bible talk, that's like a mustard seed. And you got to realize what's going to happen. You know, I'm going to forget one of them. So just, you know, God, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. I don't know, that's really encouraging to me. All right, and then there's the thing about the calming of the sea, but it's 5:55 and I have to stop. But it would have been really great if I could have talked about that. But, all right, so do I have a summary thing? All right, trust in God, trust also in me. So anyway, which soil are you? You know, I hope your heart, that soil has been plowed and made soft. I hope so. And I hope that you're putting out down deep roots. And those roots are in God. And I hope, because I know what's going to happen, life's going to happen. And, you know, weeds are going to come up. But I just hope you'll have the wisdom to pull up those weeds. Because, you know, eventually the weeds get so big that if you pull up the weeds, you pull up the plants. You're stuck. Yeah, you're stuck with them. Don't let that happen to you. So I pray that we'd be the good soil. Because if we are, then the kingdom of God will be like a mustard seed, right? And then we're going to see things growing in beautiful ways, which is what all of us want. And all of us are going to see evidence of it in a few minutes because we're going to see a new sister baptized into Christ. Thank you.
Okay, there we go. Okay, first. First of all, I'm going to talk about hope, but I'd like to all of you to join me in singing Happy Birthday to John.
Oh.
Happy birthday to you.
Woo!
Happy birthday to you.
Woo!
Happy birthday, dear John. Happy birthday to you.
Woo!
Thanks.
Some of you might know, but this is how we do it. Every Bible talk donates food. And I've got a list. I brought this up with me. Shiny, bright